Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome inside the playbook for the 2011 NFL season. My name is John Rook. Kevin, how do I turn up the audio here and the headphones? Oh, man, that's beautiful. That's a great thing. See, because I'm deaf, so I don't really get understand all that stuff. All right, this is great to be back with you, everybody. We certainly appreciate your being here and being with us. This is our 11th season to do Patriots Playbook here on Patriots.com Radio, which means we've been around almost as long as the PFW in Progress guys. This is 12 years now overall for Patriots.com Radio, to be a byproduct here of the New England Patriots football team and of Patriots.com website. Our 11th season here with the playbook. And for those that will not be initiated yet or haven't been initiated into the playbook or haven't gotten your copy of the playbook, as I guess we've kind of used over the last couple of years, it's very simple. It's a little different than what PFW in Progress does. We tend to deal with a little bit more of the meat and potatoes in terms of analyzing, in terms of criticizing, in terms of complimenting when the compliments are due. First of all, someone asked me the other day, and this is the God's honest truth. Someone asked me the other day, said, you know, how come you guys are, you know, you don't do anything but rum swab, you know, the New England Patriots? And I said, well, wait a second. First of all, you understand that each of the guys on the PFW show, they write for the Patriots Football Weekly. Yes, the Patriots pay their paycheck, but the situation is that they're all journalists. They were hired from outside, from other journalistic entities, to come do the job that they do in covering the football team. My background is that I've been an employee as an announcer, as a voice, as the voice of Gillette Stadium for 19 seasons. I've covered this football team now on pretty much a day-in and day-out basis during the season for 23 years. Dating back to my time at television in Providence and Boston and all points in between over the course of the last 23 years. But I have been an employee of the team for 19 seasons, my 19th year coming up. So who better than us really to tell you or to talk to you or to entertain your thoughts and your questions about this team as we get ready to embark on the 2011 season? So we will on Tuesdays, as they, you know, the guys were just talking about, traditionally we call it Nitpick Tuesday because it's our first time after a game is played, to be back with you here on this particular venue. And, you know, with Patriots Monday through the WEEI folks, we don't get a chance to talk on Mondays after games. But Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays during the course of the regular season, we'll be here. And the Patriots Monday and Patriots Friday will take care of the other 2 days of the week. So that's your football programming here on Patriots.com Radio through the course of the regular season. But on Tuesdays, here's what I like most of all about coming on Tuesdays. I have a chance to let the game on Sunday digest. I have a chance to sort of let it sink in a little bit. I have a chance to let my emotions just go out of my ears. I have a chance to chill out, especially if it's a bad game. I also have a chance to come down a little bit off the euphoria of a win, thinking that all the Patriots are all that, all the Patriots are going to dominate, all the Patriots are doing this, they're doing that. No, no, no. I come down, I give myself, it's great to have that 24-hour built-in perspective. And on Tuesdays, we tend to come in and we really analyze it. We really look at it. And if something is still sticking in your craw, if something is still really standing out in your mind, either in a positive or negative sense, it's still going to be there on a Tuesday. And so we call Tuesdays Nitpick Tuesdays. We talk about some of the things that maybe should be criticized or maybe should be pointed out or maybe they're not pointed out enough. Part of what we do on Tuesdays is a lot of analyzation. with an eye toward and an ear toward pointing the focus toward the next week's opponent on Tuesday. Now, Wednesdays and Thursdays, we generally kick into high gear in terms of the next opponent. We start early in the week, earlier than certainly the local sports talk radio stations do and anybody else does. And this is all Patriots all the time. You know, it's great to have, as we talked about a couple of moments ago with Fred and the guys, it's great to have, you know, the ESPNBoston.com guys, you know, Adam Jones, who does, you know, the post-game stuff here on Patriots.com, as I know you're probably becoming aware of now. And, you know, EEI comes in here on Mondays and Fridays, and, you know, they talk to players, and they talk to Coach Bill, and, you know, which we have access to pretty much most of the time ourselves anyway. But what we do here, though, is 110% football. ESPNBoston.com, well, they've still got the Red Sox to talk about, and they've still got, you know, other things. Is there other things? We don't have NBA anymore, do we? Celtics are gone for a while, I think. We had hockey for a while, and they're getting ready to start back up again, I know.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we do here, and this is what sets us apart from our other, you know, neighbors here at Gillette Stadium. This is all football all the time. So we're going to start looking at the next week's opponent earlier than most everybody else. Usually we start with an eye toward that on Tuesday, and then Wednesdays and Thursdays we're going full bore right into it. We will have guests from around the league. We will have guests from around the AFC East. We'll have beat writers and broadcasters from the next week's opponent. We will hear from the players, not just the Patriots, but we will hear from the opponent. This, you know, the upcoming week, for instance, tomorrow, I believe, Tony Sparano, the Miami head coach, I'm not sure who the player is that they're going to make available to us, but we're going to have those conference calls for you here inside the playbook. And the reason that we like to do the conference calls when we make them available is because, for the most part, we like to play everything in total. You're not here held to a standard of, you know, well, let's just play you a soundbite. We like to give you entire conversations and, as best as possible, let you hear the questions that the reporters who are doing the interviewing ask as well, because sometimes you get a better idea of the context of the question. We have that liberty here. We have 2 hours in the middle of the afternoon on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays to do nothing but football, and that's what we're going to give you here. I'm very excited to do that for you again this year. Very excited to be with you. I've made so many great friends via Patriots.com radio and the internet over the course of the last 11 years. Many of you have been around for a long time, and if you're new to the program, I welcome you in. There are several ways that you can get in touch with me here on the program. First of all, the email address, which is the usual email address for Patriots.com radio. It's webradio@patriots.com. Web radio, all one word, WEBRADIO, webradio@patriots.com. That's how you get us via email. The Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Is that what we're calling it? What are we calling it now? Okay. 508-298-0398. First time that we've had a new number in 11 years, too, so I have to make sure that I memorize this now. Area code is 508, and the number is 298-0398. We have multiple lines available for you. Operators are standing by now. But wait, there's more. For $14.95, we can also... No, you know, I've always wanted to do that. Are you? I, honestly, if I could stay up all night long and watch infomercials, I would buy everything that comes along. I wished I was rich. In fact, if I ever won the lottery, I think I would set aside like... probably like $10,000, $100,000, whatever I got to spare.
Great cash, homie.
And for 24 hours, I would do nothing but watch infomercials and buy every stinking doggone thing that comes up on television. Some of this stuff's really cool. But, I mean, how many Ginsu knives do you need, right? Yes, I know. Thank you very much for that rim shot. 508-298-0398. Very shortly, not yet, but very shortly, I'll have my Facebook page up as well. And we also communicate via Facebook during the course of the show. I'll have my chat up and running on Facebook. If you'd like to join us via Facebook, it's my personal Facebook page, okay? You know, we thought about doing a fan page, this and that, just for the show. But you know what? Nah, to hell with it. I really don't care. Doesn't bother me. I consider all of you my friends. We're all friends in football anyway. So If you want to join us via Facebook, you can submit questions via my Facebook page as well. If you're not already a friend, submit a friend request. John Rook, R-O-O-K-E, is how you can find me on Facebook. Just put Patriots Playbook or something in the friend request so I know specifically where you're coming from. I will accept the friend request, and then you'll have my page, and you can do your questions. If you have questions for the show, during the show, you can submit your questions on my Facebook page. If you have questions during the week, while you're on Facebook, but we're not on the air live, well, then just send me the question on Facebook. I will save them all, and the next show that we do it, hey, bingo, your question gets answered. One of the things that I really try to make sure that we do on this program is we answer everybody's question. Now, some years, it's almost impossible to do that. Some days, it's almost impossible to do that just because of the volume of email that we get, and you know that from the PFW guys. But whatever emails they have left over, I look through every one of them. What emails I get personally for this show, I look through every one of them and answer as many as humanly possible. Because I know you're interested, you want answers. Heck, I want answers. We exchange ideas. You're a knowledgeable football fan. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be listening to this show. That stands to reason, right? You are knowledgeable, and you want more knowledge. So I'll give you my thoughts and my perspective from a team that I've covered for almost 25 years now. And then you can give me what your perspective is. You can tell me what you've seen, what you know. We'll bounce it off of each other. There is no right. There is no wrong. It's just an opinion. Like a belly button, everybody's got one, right? I think there's another phrase that goes along with that, but I choose to go with the G-rated version. Kevin's laughing. All right, so that's kind of how we roll here. You got a telephone number, you got an email address, you got a Facebook page. Oh, yeah, there's Twitter, too. You want to do Twitter? My Twitter address is at jrook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. I know, it's kind of unwieldy, but somebody had John Rook already, so that's what I went with. It's at jrook, 0722. And by all means, you can follow me along. I do tweet updates from time to time, not only with the Patriots and what I'm able to come across, but I do a lot of college football and college basketball covering as well. I write a local column for GoLocalProv.com, and that's kind of where I wanted to start with today as well. Because a column that I wrote that I published on GoLocalProv.com yesterday is kind of really where I thought I wanted to start today, and then I want to get your perspective on this. There are three areas, I think, in this football team following the preseason that I certainly think we have to look at and this team needs to address. Just like you, I was surprised that Brandon Merriweather left. I was surprised. I knew, I thought, wow, is it possible? I heard all of this stuff possibly come, and then thinking, no, how would they do this? You're talking about a guy who's made the Pro Bowl a couple of times. He's got experience back there. You know, they've had injury situations. You can never have enough good safeties. And then, bang, they pull the trigger and let him go.
In the big bang clock.
Yeah. It was a surprise to me. I think it was a surprise to a lot of people. But I said on GoLocalProv.com, I said, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if there's one waiver that makes you say, wow. I knew something was coming, and the reason I knew something was coming is because Bill Belichick, in his usual way of doing things, he likes to send a message. And that, I do believe, was this year's message. Play my way. Play the way we want you to play. If you don't, the door is always open. And that's not necessarily to come in. I also said, you could expect a surprise to make the roster as well. And frankly, I think the surprise to make the roster was the undrafted free agent out of Iowa, Jeff Tarpinian, who spent most of the preseason hurt. And yet he still makes the final 53. Why is that? They really like the guy. I've known that since almost the first couple of practices that I saw him out there. Very active, a great special teams guy. They see him filling in perhaps in spot situations in the linebacking core. And you got to realize now his pedigree at Iowa, he's a Kirk Ferentz guy, and Kirk Ferentz and Bill Belichick have a relationship. So you know, I wasn't terribly surprised, but I know a lot of people were. So there's one in the negative and one in the positive. A guy that they cut you didn't think would be cut, a guy they kept that you didn't think they would keep. And it happens every year. It happens every year. So this leaves us now with three areas of focus, as I wrote yesterday, okay? Three areas of focus. One, you still got the offensive line to worry about. You still have the offensive line to worry about. There's some depth issues there. Now, maybe the pickup from KC is okay. Maybe that's okay. He's got to get into game shape. We're not sure that he's going to play, much less start yet this next Monday against Miami. Tight end. You only have two on the roster. And this is really where I think we think now, because we think that Rob Gronkowski's brother is coming into the situation, although the team has not yet officially announced that. He'd be coming from Denver if that is the case. Team still hasn't gotten official with that yet. But this is where I think the team made a mistake. I think they thought they really would get Will Yeatman or Lee Smith through waivers, and then they would add them to the practice squad, problem solved. And it didn't happen. They lost both of those guys. You know, there are 11 players, and I'm sure you've seen this number, but in case you haven't, there are 11 players out of the 90 that this football team started with day one of camp. 11 players who are now playing for other teams, currently still active in the NFL. Six of them were picked up off of the waiver wire just this past week. That's more than anybody else in the NFL. What does that tell you, A, about the Patriots' ability to evaluate talent? B, what does that tell you about the Patriots' depth? Should say a couple of good things, right? Should say a couple of things to you. But I think they messed up and tied in. And really what you did now is you've given basically the Miami Dolphins and Buffalo Bills, who picked up those two players, you've given them two divisional rivals, I might add, that you're going to see a grand total of four times this year. You've just given them the benefit of your schooling these young kids over the past 6 weeks. I'm sure if they had a do-over, there would be a do-over. On the other hand, if they were good enough to make the squad, they would have probably made the squad. They would have found a way to fit them in on that 53-man roster. That's another way to look at it. I personally think they kind of messed up on that one, but you're not going to bat 1,000. Nobody does, right? Hey, Hall of Fame baseball players make the Hall going 3-for-10. If the Patriots and their hierarchy and Bill Belichick went 3-for-10, we'd be screaming for him to get the hell out. So you're not gonna hit everyone, but I think that happened to be a miss. And then of course you have the issue in the secondary. That's issue number three. Merriweather's gone. They cut Sanders loose. You've got at least one of your safeties that's still somewhat unproven in Sergio Brown, although I think he'll probably get the nod to start over Josh Barrett. Your depth at cornerback is young. I mean, what did we see of Rashai Dowling? We didn't see much of him at all because he spent most of the exhibition season hurt. I initially thought he might be one of the surprises to be cut. I wrote that. And then I had several people admonish me for saying there's no way they're going to let a draft pick that high go that early. Okay, you're probably right about that. Probably right about that. But I didn't see anything out of Dowling. Zero. So clearly the coaches have seen enough to where they want to keep him around. I will also tell you that the clock is ticking on a guy like Dowling, because if he doesn't produce, it's probably ticking more for a guy like Darius Butler to begin with, but if he doesn't produce, then you've seen, hey, you're a first-round draft pick, you can still get dumped. I mean, that's just what happened to Merriweather. What's left of the class of 2007? Zero. Gone. 2007, 2008 are basically a wash, and this team has still got the depth. It's because they've been able to go out and find the depth largely through free agency. And number two, largely because they've done a better job of talent evaluation through 2009, 2010, and even into 2011. Although this year, well, they didn't really keep as many draft picks, especially the lower round ones that the Patriots seem to have a good track record for. All right, so you usually have to wait 2 or 3 years minimum before you can get a good, solid, honest evaluation on a draft class. Well, we can close the book on 07, I think, because there isn't anybody left now. Everybody's gone. All right, so I know you got questions. Let's get to the phones. The number again, 508-298-0398. All right, Kevin, which button am I punching here? Oh, you got him up, all right? Dagmar in Miami is up first this year on the playbook. Dagmar, how are you, pal?
Good, good. How are you, John?
Great to talk to you.
Good. Likewise, likewise, man. I just wanted to be short. Just basically wanted to be on behalf of all the Patriots fans and our usually loyal listeners to the all the web Patriots web radio. That we are always listening to every single show. I just wanted to give you a warm welcome back for a new season. Go get it, boy, and go Patriots and go Canes.
Thanks, Dagmar. Appreciate that. Hey, I got to ask you, though. I got to ask you. You saw your Canes last night. What did you think? Oh, he hung up already. What did you also think about those god-awful, ugly-ass uniforms that Maryland had? Were those the most unbelievable things you've ever seen? But you know what? They accomplished their purpose, right? Because everybody around the country is talking about those ugly uniforms that Maryland had last night. Oh, my God. It was like somebody threw up on a helmet. Literally. Somebody went, yes. That's exactly what they did, Spalding. Thank you very much. That's exactly what they did. They threw up all over their helmets, and that's what they wore last night. That is unbelievable. Well, Miami was shorthanded with those suspended players and such. So, anyway. All right, should we go to the next one? You got the... Yeah. Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Big Al, thanks for calling, buddy. Welcome to the program.
Hey there. What did it say, John Rook?
How are you?
Well, at least Maryland had the decency to win the game in their ugly new uniforms. The Georgia Bulldogs struggled a little bit.
They sure did.
New unis.
First of all, I like Georgia's new unis a heck of a lot better than Maryland's. But I actually thought Georgia would. I actually thought Georgia might win that game. What the heck happened?
They got beat by a better team.
Okay.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody around here wants to talk that way. And I'm not originally from here, so maybe I'm a little bit more liberated. You know, to be more objective.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, there is a certain sense of entitlement. Let's just say, amongst some of the fans here that think that they're, you know, these little piddly schools have no business, you know, being on the same field. Well, guess what? If they have a better quarterback and a better running back, they might just beat you.
Yeah.
So, Boise State just had a better team. They're playing in a dome stadium, so they didn't get killed by the heat. And, it's the opening game of the year. They had, they had one kid out, a wide receiver that got suspended, but everybody else is pretty healthy. And Georgia just got beat by a better team, bottom line. But you won't hear that around here. You'll hear, we got to have an investigation, and they're not as good as the SEC and stuff.
I was going to ask you, Al, is Mark Richt teetering on the brink here?
I'm afraid so, and I love the guy. And I'm not one of these fire-the-coach guys.
Yeah.
You know, I really am not.
Yeah.
And he's, as far as leadership and organization, I think he's as good as you're going to get running a college team. He has had problems with sort of game management issues over the years with the fans and talk radio in Atlanta, which doesn't really see the leadership and organization issue. They will see the, why didn't you call timeout, on a certain, with 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes to go when you had two timeouts left and you had the ball in the third. In other words, they pick you apart tactically in Atlanta.
Right,
see?
Right.
And he has to understand that that's part of the, that's part of the package that you get when you coach Georgia football. So even though he's got the leadership and organization, tremendous humanitarian and all of, just what you'd want to run, to be a leader on a college team, he's still got to win like everybody else. And I think, unfortunately, if they do another one of these 7-5, 6-6 deals, this year, that, the plug's going to get pulled on him, which I would hate to see. I wish he could stay, but, at some point, you know better than me. The patience of the people is a little short.
There's no patience now, and especially with the pressure to win at all costs because there's so much money in the balance. We've got, we've got Armageddon getting ready to happen again with more expansion, and, it's crazy. It's absolute lunacy. I would love for somebody to stand up and say enough and, stop the madness in college sports, and I just don't know if anybody or any program right now in the country is willing to do that because there's so much hanging in the balance. So, what are your thoughts on the club here?
I love the team. I do every year, but I really like this team. I like the moves that we made. Belichick, he loves to tinker with that defensive backfield, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I mean, he just loves every year we got guys running in and out, and so.
But didn't we think, Al? Didn't we think though that by the proxy of the defensive line getting stronger and putting more pressure on the quarterback, that would improve the secondary?
Well, that's a reasonable thing to think, and you know, we haven't seen much of Haynesworth so far, but I know what I'd like to see up front, and I'd like to run this by you. You know, the NFL, of course, being a copycat league, I'm sure many teams out there copying the Patriots. I'm sure the Patriots have done their share of copying too over the years. I'm looking at Wilfork and Haynesworth in the middle of a 4-3, and I'm thinking of what the Ravens did back in 2000. I think it was Saragusa and Sam Adams, two big fat guys in the middle, and then Ray Lewis can run around and make plays.
I'm hoping
that we can do that with Gerard Mayo. We have our two big fat guys in the middle, and then Gerard Mayo runs around and make plays.
What do you think about that possibility?
You know what? I first of all, if I'm an opposing offensive lineman, and I'm actually going to be, you know, getting down in a 3-point stance or whatever, and I see those two guys line up in front of me, I've got serious issues with my drawers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, honestly, come on, think about that for a second from the other side.
You want to talk about an ugly looking uniform? There's one right there.
It could very well be. So the Patriots have to figure out a way to obviously maximize that. I think that we have to also realize that some of the moves that they have made throughout the course of the preseason and in trying to create this roster as it now stands goes with that in mind. I think they feel pretty good about the 10 guys right now that they have that will be quote-unquote defensive linemen. And I'm throwing in guys who are hybrid, you know, potential outside linebackers as well. There's 10 down linemen and defensive ends really on this team. So, when you look at it from that aspect, there's a lot of depth. One of the things that Albert Haynesworth is absolutely 110% correct about is the fact that, you know what? While I'm in there and I'm only going to be in there for a couple of plays at a time, I'm going 110% and then I'm going to come out and get a blow because we have so much incredible depth. Now, if that is the case and we have every reason to believe that is the case, then I think what we have to reasonably expect from this team is pressure on the quarterback, number one.
Right.
Number two, collapsing the pocket. Number three, stuffing the run. Now, we need to see one of those two or three things, like, almost immediately. And we saw that early. The first two preseason games this year, we did see that. The Patriots did a great job of stuffing the run. But then when it came to the when Haynesworth started playing in week three, that's when we started seeing the Patriots get gouged up the middle again a little bit. So, and I think a lot of that is because he was kind of out on an island by himself, and they weren't running at him. They were running away from him. So.
It is his first game back, too.
Yeah, and it was the first game back, and he's obviously got to work himself back into shape. And But I think you can tell.
Shape is a big issue for him. I mean, he needs to be in shape.
He just, you know. Yeah, he does. He does. He has to have his wind, because you want him to be able to give that 110 or whatever it is that he gives. You want him to be able to give that for at least a couple of downs. And on third downs, you know, then you want guys that are basically going to, you know, two gap and fill up holes. You know, you can bring in a Myron Pryor. You can bring in a Kevin Love. You know, eventually, if they ever, you know, get healthy enough to play, you got a Ron Brace who still probably figures in there, even though he's on PUP right now. You got Brandon Dedrick, you got
the other guys.
I would think so. I think that's one of the guys that they really want to see succeed, that if they didn't like him, he would have already been gone.
He would have been cut.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he would have been cut certainly this year, because we didn't see him at all during the preseason.
No. So, this would have been if he would have had every opportunity to be cut this year if they didn't like what they saw.
That's exactly correct. So we need to see, first of all, the run getting stuffed. That's the big thing right now. After that, then you need to see the pocket collapse from the middle. And when the pocket collapses from the middle, then the way that it usually works out is then your ends should be able to make some headway as well.
I think you're absolutely right. I think also, John, if I can jump in, I think you made a good point on the tight end position.
Yep.
I think they tried to hide Yeatman a little bit.
Yep.
It's amazing. You are so right about how many Patriots. This never used to be the case.
No.
When we cut somebody, they were out of football.
Well, it's because you're an Italian evaluator, and if you don't have anything left, and the Patriots have long been, ever since the days of Bill Parcells, they have long been lauded for their ability to evaluate talent. And this has been going on now for almost 20 years. It's hard to believe it's been that long.
11 guys, you're saying, are on other teams that we cut this year?
That's correct.
That is incredible.
11 guys, and, 11 players who are on the 90-man roster at one point in time or another are on other teams.
That is incredible. Yeah. This is the first year. I've been overseas with the Guard a couple of years. This is the first year I've been able to get the NFL Network here.
Right.
So I've been kind of going a little goofy with that during the preseason, surfing around, even watching, preseason games, parts of them that, teams that I wouldn't watch normally just because I have the channel.
Right.
And I'm looking at the Arizona Cardinals, and they have a guy that we cut in the middle of the 08 season at tight end. He finished the season with them, and he's still on the team. Steven Spock. I mean, I can't believe this guy is still on the team. We had him for a cup of coffee and cut him. He ends up playing in the Super Bowl with the Cardinals in 08 because they, slithered through the playoffs and made the Super Bowl.
I remember that.
And he's still on their team.
It is
incredible. So, I mean, I think we did try on the Yeatman thing to try to
sneak
him, hide him, and keep him.
And you had a backup. Yeah, you had a backup in Smith, and they lost him too. So that's why I think if you really wanted to keep a third time in, you had to pull the trigger and keep one on the roster at least until everything played its way through. But I think they just felt like it wasn't important enough, and now they've been kind of left scrambling. Although I initially thought when I saw that both Yeatman and Smith were picked up, I initially thought, well, they'll just go get Algie Crumpler again. But apparently, they're not going to do that because apparently, and again, we don't have it confirmed yet by the club, but apparently, they brought in Gronkowski's older brother.
Cut from Denver?
I think both of the other Gronkowskis got cut. The other one from the Cowboys, too, is a fullback.
Because there's three of them in the league.
That's correct.
Incredible. All right. Well, and only one of the other two, though, is a tight end. Is
correct.
That right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Correct. The one in Denver.
Well, that would be interesting to have both of the brothers out there. That would be kind of cool, I guess.
We'll wait until we get official confirmation from the team, but at least that's the rumor today.
Well, I think the roster actually sets up pretty good. I'd like to see us try to do that where Vince Wilfork and if we can keep them both Wilfork and Haynesworth, fairly where they don't lose their wind, that's going to be a big thing. But if we can keep them where they've got enough oxygen and they can stay in that middle maybe and plug up that middle, pressure from the middle like you're saying.
Absolutely.
I think that would really help Mayo to run around and make a lot of plays a la a Ray Lewis type of situation if we're going that direction.
No question. I think we all kind of anticipate that and look forward to it. So, Al, thank you so much for the phone call. It's greatly appreciated. It's great to talk to you. It's great to have you with us again in the 2011 edition of Patriots Playbook. All right, we're going to sneak a timeout in here. Is it on? No, it's not on? Oh, okay. Oh, I have to punch you in, don't I? Which microphone are you in there? Are you one? You're five. Okay, there you are. Now you can talk. I have to get used to this board too, Kev.
So. I was gonna tell you I like this seat. I could get used to this arrangement right here. I just wanted you to see how I felt. That's all. What do I hit?
Yeah, exactly. This is what you hit. You know the board better than I do.
Let's take a break and sort this out.
We shall. 508-298-0398. Again, that's 508-298-0398. That's our telephone number. You can email us as well, webradio@patriots.com. We've got some emails coming in. We're going to answer those questions. Hit us up on Facebook as well, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. That's how you find me on Facebook. If you're not a friend already, send the friend request. I will accept it, and we can chat via Facebook during the show. You can post your questions for the show. We can talk football right here in the Playbook.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile.
Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
Welcome back inside Patriots Playbook. I got to push the button on first, huh?
It's like spring training, right?
I know. Got to learn how to do this stuff all over again. Welcome back inside Patriots Playbook, our debut edition for the 2011 NFL season. My name is John Rook. Some guy named Bill Jones. I'm calling you out, brother. 1, 2, 3, 4 emails that says, get the PFW download up ASAP. Please, I'm so bored.
That's a Ferreira thing, man.
What is that?
That's a Ferreira thing. He's the one in charge of posting it to the website.
Well, but Bill, I mean, come on. You know, so you just got through listening to PFW in Progress, and so you don't have any tolerance for any other opinions or any other points of view? I mean, some of us actually...
plenty of other quality emails.
Some of us, yeah, but 5 emails in a row? Come on, dude. Please, I'm so bored. First of all, how about some English? How about some grammar? What do you have, a third grade education? Come on. I'm so bored. We speak to a larger crowd here. We speak to an intelligent crowd here.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
In English. Habla inglés. Por favor. Sí, señor. Yes. Oh,
some
my
tequila.
Goodness. All right. So, Bill, you know, if you'd like to contribute something constructively,
just shake it off.
I'd love to hear
shake
from
it
you.
Off. We get plenty of other people.
But, you know, we just started the show, and this guy sends 5 emails in a row, says, get the PFW download up. I'm so bored. No. I'm so bored. That's what he said. Good Lord. Dude. Take a hike, will you? Take a hike. Get a life, first of all. All right. Oh, now he sends one back. He says, I hate you. What did I do to you?
Well, he sends those into the pregame social all the time. We've had 4 editions now, John, of the pregame social.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've tuned in, but
I haven't had a chance to because I'm usually here.
It's
so
it's Andy and Paul.
Yeah.
And myself chiming in at times, and we do it up every game day. About
I like it.
2 hours and 15 minutes before the game.
That's a great idea. I've always wondered why we didn't do that before.
He'll send in like 7 emails in a row telling Andy how bad he sucks. And about how he doesn't want to listen to the show.
I tell you what.
Facebook.
All right, Bill, here's what I'm going to do. Unless you can offer something constructive, I'm never going to read your email again.
That's exactly what we did.
Okay. So.
Yet he subscribes to PFW. I don't know how.
Well, that's great. You know, you'd think he subscribed to PFW, he would actually get a little intelligence. I mean, just, you know, through regular metamorphosis through it or something. But I will not read your email. I'm not going to read how much you hate me or how much you think I suck or anything. Like, that's it. Done. Okay? You want to contribute something to the show? That's great. But guess what, dude? You're listening, obviously, aren't you? You're listening. Okay. We move on. Let me get to some of these other emails. By the way, coming up at the top of the next hour, we're going to hear from the newest New England Patriot offensive lineman in Brian Waters, who did meet with the members of the media in the locker room yesterday. Guys are off today and begin working again toward the Miami game next Monday, tomorrow. But we have Brian Waters coming up at the top of the next hour here in the playbook, so you get a chance to hear him. Pro Bowl guy, 5-year Pro Bowl player from the Kansas City Chiefs. Did not go through the preseason. This ought to be interesting. Don't be shocked, even though he hasn't played yet in 2011, don't be shocked if he's starting guard next Monday night. Could happen. Could very well happen. All right, Robin in Alaska. How do we feel about Playbook coming back? Oh, yeah! I like it.
It's a good Teddy Bruschi imitation.
Oh, yeah! All right. Thanks, Robin. Great to hear from you. Sam from Cali. So my question is, do you guys think Chad's decline, Ochocinco, has anything to do with the fact that he changed his name? Because as I was watching NFL the other night, Warren Sapp brought up a good point. Chad Johnson made the Pro Bowl 5 times. Chad Ochocinco has had only a Pro Bowl appearance. I mean, if he says he is changing, maybe this is a good time to go back to his real name and stop with the gimmick.
Bill!
I honestly, Sam, don't think that has anything at all to do with Ochocinco. You know, it's a good time to bring this up, just because you brought it up, Sam, so thank you for doing that. But I've seen a lot written already, heard some of it talked about. People have asked me as well, do you feel like Brady's having trouble getting on the same page with Chad Ochocinco? First of all, let's go back. Last year, couple of years, we can go back even 3 or 4 years or more. We're talking about on this very program about how Bill Belichick and Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, had a mutual admiration society going on for each other. You've seen it. You've heard about it. You've read about it. You've probably talked about it. And now that they had a chance to get him and they got him and people are complaining, come on.
you got to give this a little bit of a chance to work out here. Chad is 33. I believe he's 33 years old. He's clearly on the downside of his career. The Patriots would not have taken a gander on him if they didn't feel like he had something left in his legs. I think this is where you really have to give Patriots hierarchy, and it obviously starts and stops with Bill Belichick. I think this is where you got to give him at least a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here. Now, is it too complicated a system? I really doubt that. For a guy who's been around as long as he's been around and he can't pick up the nuances of this playbook, I find that very hard to believe. I believe that you probably didn't see him more active in the preseason for a couple of reasons. The first of which is that other players were a priority. Younger players were a priority. Brandon Tate's gone. Taylor Price is in. A lot of that probably has more predicated to do with the new kickoff rules this year, but I'm just saying that's just an example. Now, if we get 2 or 3 weeks into the season, Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco, whatever you want to call him, he only has 4 or 5 catches. You know, that gets 1 or 2 catches per game. Then I think it really depends on how many times he's targeted. Because you know what? He might only be targeted 4 or 5 times a game based on the game plan of the week. And so if you're only targeted a few times and you only catch the ball once or twice, is it fair to criticize you? No, it's not. You need to look at the entire game tape. You need to look at the entire play-by-play. You need to listen to the coaches. You need to talk to people who understand what the game plan was. And now if he's targeted 6, 8, 10, 12 times and he only comes up with 1 or 2 catches, now you have a problem. So let's talk about how many times he's targeted in the offense. Let's talk about how active he's going to be. It may very well be the Patriots feel like, you know what, we can beat this team with short intermediate routes, and so you're going to find Welker, you're going to find Woodhead out of the backfield, you're going to find Aaron Hernandez, you're going to find Gronk, whatever you're going to find, but you're not going to find the wide receiver going deep or the wide receiver going over the middle. So before we say Chad Ochocinco, it doesn't have anything left, whether it has to do with his name or not. Let's wait and let's evaluate after 2 or 3 weeks. Let's see how many times he's been targeted by Tom Brady and how many times he's really figured into the game plan. And then we can start to evaluate whether or not there's gas left in his tank. Fair enough? All right, Sam, thanks for bringing that up. This one from Sean. John, great to hear your voice. It's a true sign that football is back. Thank you, Sean. Do you think that Price is going to be the team's deep threat? It appears that Ocho and Branch will be intermediate threats. I think everyone needs to calm down about Ocho. He will get it in time. There was no off season. He needs time. I think his biggest problem is mental. He finally sees himself on a good team, and he wants to perform well. Can't wait until Monday. I will be there. Sean, I think you hit the nail on the head. Let's also put into this equation, you remember when Ochocinco first came to the Patriots this summer. He said, so this is what heaven's like, and I'm paraphrasing. But for those of you that were, you know, reading and listening to PFW at the time, you know, during the off-season editions, that's what he said. That's what he said. I think he's a little bit overwhelmed. I think, I don't want to say he's intimidated, but let's just say he's like, wow, I really need to put out. And so, you know, yeah, there's a little bit of pressure on him to do that. He needs to relax and play. So maybe he's gotten that out of his system through the preseason. We can only hope. But let's cut him a little bit of slack. Guy's a Pro Bowl receiver. Bill Belichick loves him. Tom Brady loves him. That's all that counts. Now, I say this in light of the fact that Brady earlier today on Patriots Monday on WEEI, he did say that he would not be adverse to having, you know, Randy Moss come back at some point in time. Now, that could open up a whole nother can of worms. But I think you'll only see that if the Patriots have an injury problem, where they if they lost Ochocinco or they lost Deion Branch, they might entertain that. Sounds to me like, well, first of all, you know, before they signed Ochocinco, they did talk to Moss. Okay, did you know this? They did talk to Moss. There was some hemming and hawing going back and forth, and ultimately it was decided they were going to move on and they were going to try for Ocho Cinco, and that's what happened. But apparently Moss was talked to before the season, or actually once they were able to start talking to players, when it became legal for them to do so in the after the CBA was agreed to between owners and players this summer. So maybe the groundwork's been laid. Maybe they've already said, look, you know what, I'm going to stay in shape. If you need me during the season, call me. I think that's, and frankly, I think that would be a great idea. I think it'd be a great idea if they need him. Let's see now what you can do. As far as Taylor Price is concerned, you know, do I think he'll be the deep threat? Well, he could be, but honestly, I don't really think they need the quote-unquote speed burner deep threat. Everybody talks about getting the speed burner deep threat. Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, when he gets an opportunity to play, he'll be used in that capacity to stretch a defense. But, you know, you can only throw deep so many times where, you know, the defense isn't going to be fooled by it unless you catch one or two. So you're going to put Taylor Price in there at the expense of Ocho Cinco or at the expense of Deion Branch? Because somebody's got to come out of the game if you're going to put Price in there. I'm just saying all things in good time. Tom sends this. He says, have you heard anything about Dan joining Rob here as a tight end, the Gronkowskis? Rumors are spreading on the net, NFL.com, etc. Again, we have talked about it, Tom, at least initially here on the program. I know they talked about it on PFW earlier, that the rumor is out there that, yes, Dan Gronkowski would join Rob as a backup tight end here in New England, but the team, the Patriots, have not officially made that announcement. Nothing has come from the team. It makes sense. Certainly there's a familiarity factor there. There's a guy who's certainly available. It's kind of an interesting sidelight, you know, sideline story to have two brothers at tight end in the same position, yada, yada. But nothing has been made official yet.
And we're company men, so we can't.
Well, you know what?
Really speculate.
But if we get, you know, but if the company decides to release it, it's going to be said here first. You're not going to get it first anywhere else. That's for sure.
By the way, while we're breaking in this first edition of the playbook.
Yes.
Another cool thing that I forgot to tell you.
What?
About our new Subway Studios.
Yes.
That we have to pump.
Yes.
On this screen that you have over here.
Yes.
If you were to drag your mouse, there's also like a chat window. So
oh,
while
yeah.
listeners can chat with you on Facebook, I feel kind of left out at times.
Really?
So I can go.
Oh, I see. So you can chat with me over here
on the studio
chat. Yes, I got you.
Just because I feel left out.
Okay.
So I feel, you know, it's all about me.
Well, like I said, I've got to make sure that my Facebook page is slow. I must be, you know, there must
that
be.
That computer is slow in general.
It's very slow here.
The email, the Facebook, doesn't matter what you're.
Yes,
what you're
I know. But I got to get it up and running here because I want to be able to chat via Facebook as well with fans during the show as well. So I've gotten a couple of friend requests. I'm going to try to get to those as soon as possible and answer them. And that way that we can, you know, get to the program. If you're already a Facebook friend, then go ahead and log in. If you want to chat during the show, we can do that. I'll get to most of those probably during commercial breaks. If you have questions as well, like for instance, my friend Joshua sends this via Facebook. He says, John, glad to have the show back. Ocho is not the deep threat that he once was. He's more like a Deion Branch type player. In saying that, I believe that Moss needs to come back and join this squad. Having him and Ocho on the field would open up the field for the slots, tight ends, and the running game. Picture the offense we'd have if Moss had joined. Just remember, after Brady's comments, what Brady wants, Brady gets. I'm telling you, and Joshua, I really believe this, I think that the subject has already been approached. And my guess would be, when things start to play themselves out and we get into the meat of the season after a few weeks, and especially if, you know, heaven forbid, knock on Formica, an injury occurs, yeah, I do believe Randy Moss will get a call. Not right now, because I think they've got other areas to look at. Tight end is certainly one of them. Offensive line, I think depth is still another. It's one thing, you know, bringing in a guy like Brian Waters and then, you know, letting a younger player, I mean, because Waters is an 11-year vet, and letting a 23-year-old guy like Steve Maneri go. That bothered me a little bit. I have to admit, that bothered me. Coupled with the fact that they let the two rookie tight ends exposed, they left him exposed, and they lost both of them, and then they lost Steve Maneri, who also signed. He's one of the 11 players that now is on another roster. That bothered me, and it's only because, you know, we've talked about over the course of the last 2 years now. 2 years ago, this was an ancient team. Last year, it got a little bit younger. But we talked all season long last year about this team's need to continue to get younger. And Mike Reese from ESPNBoston.com, he had up on his blog earlier today about the Patriots now having the ninth oldest team in the NFL, just over 27 years per man across the roster. But if you took out the specialist, kicker, punter, deep snapper, Patriots would have the third oldest team in the NFL. That's a little bit of a worry, a little bit of a concern. They've been in the top three or four in terms of experience, in terms of age, over the last few years. So if you look at the total picture, they have gotten a little bit younger, especially in key positions. But you eliminate the specialists, we're really on the field for what, five, six snaps a game? You're still one of the oldest teams in the NFL. That is a concern. Now, they wouldn't have gone out and picked up some of these guys if they didn't think there was still life in the legs. But you can't keep bringing in, you know, the Brian Waterses and the Randy Mosses at the expense of the Steve Mannerys and, I don't know, Taylor Prices. You can't do it. I mean, I know you want to win now, and I've said this. I've written this in Go Local Prov, and I've said this since the start of this year. There is an attitude here at Gillette Stadium of carpe diem. For those of you who don't know what Latin is, seize the day. I really believe they look at this year now, based on the way last year ended, and here's my one beef. I didn't get a chance to get out after the Jets playoff loss last year. They blew an opportunity last year, and I think they know it. And now that football is back, and now that we're pointing toward the regular season, I feel like Coach Belichick, Nick Caserio, Robert Kraft, I feel like they all feel like we have a window here. Tom Brady is still the elite quarterback in the NFL. We still have elite people at key positions in the NFL. And because of that, we need to seize on it now. So there is an attitude of carpe diem around Gillette Stadium. And so I think that's why you've seen some of the veteran acquisitions come in, as opposed to keeping the Steve Mannerys and maybe the Will Yatemans and the Lee Smiths. Some of it. A lot of it has to do with the positions, but I think there's just an attitude here. Who's going to help us win now? Next year and beyond, be damned, who's going to help us win now? And I do believe that's part of the equation. Mary Beth, welcome back. So happy to have the playbook back. Was so lucky as to get a tix to a few games this year rather than just one. Can't wait to see this team on Monday. Go Pats. Thanks, Mary Beth. Great to have you. Great to have you back in the playbook as well. That's via text, or actually via message on Facebook. All right. Top of the hour. Let's pause here. Let's regroup. Email still coming in. webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. 298-0398, area code 508. Give us a buzz here as we are broadcasting Patriots Playbook, our debut edition, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown! Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans,
Yeah, they're obsessed, and nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
This is Patriots defensive end, Sean Ellis. Welcome back to Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Thank you, Sean. Very cool, by the way, to have Sean Ellis do that for us. Good job out of you, Kev.
Been hustling.
Yeah, I like it. Can't wait to see him play.
We'll have some other treats this year.
I can't wait to see him play.
I'm going
to
be a bigger presence in the locker room this year, John.
Awesome.
And I can.
Well, here's the thing. As we open up hour number two inside our inaugural edition of Playbook for 2011, as Sean said, on Patriots.com Radio. Here's the thing. One of the things that we really like to be able to give you here are things that you just can't get anywhere else. We want to get you inside the locker room. We want you to hear the players talk as they're talking to the media. Because, you know, the media, whether it's a newspaper reporter or a radio reporter or a TV talking head, the media cuts up the comments to suit their angle. That's not what we do here. We're all about giving it to you in the raw, baby. Okay? That's what we want. We want you to hear the full context of everything that's going on. What the question was, what the answer to that question is, whether it was a no comment or not, we want you to hear that. We want you to be able to understand that. We can do that here. And no one else can do that. No one else has the ability to do that but us. Because everybody has to, you know, chop it up to their agenda. That's just the way it works in the media. That's why you don't believe everything you hear in the media or you see in the media. Everybody, you have an opportunity to create your own opinion and your own idea about what's right and what's not. All we're going to do here is give you the information that you might not and probably not, you probably won't be able to get anywhere else. Now, there's a lot of stuff out there on the internet, as you know. It's I mean, you know, this is our 11th year for Patriots Playbook. It's our 12th year to have programming on Patriots.com radio. The Patriots have been out there in the forefront of doing this before anybody else in the NFL. And the quality of the stuff is bar none better than anybody else has got. You got professionals here doing the job.
I'm just happy I made it to year two.
There you go. See? But Kevin was brought in specifically. His background is as a radio producer. This is why he's brought in here to run the ship. I was brought in 11 years ago because, you know, my background is in radio and television journalism. This is why we're here, to give you the benefit of our expertise. Now, you don't have to agree with most anything we say. You don't have to agree with anything, period. But it's not all about agreeing. If you agreed with everything that I said, it'd be kind of boring, wouldn't it? This isn't about agreeing. It's about exchanging ideas.
Boring.
Yes, exactly. It's okay to agree. It's okay if we're on the same page. But then let's analyze it. Let's take a look at it. Why are we on the same page? We nitpick. That's why Tuesdays are Nitpick Tuesdays. We like to pick and pick and pick and pick. We pick at the scab until he starts bleeding again. I know that's kind of gross, but that's what we do. It's what we're good at. We just pick. You know, we just pick. You know, little nits that get wadded up on your couch at home or on your carpet or on your favorite blanket. You know, the little, those little nits, the little ball things that you kind of pick off. We just do that. We pick these little nits. That's what we're doing. We're picking. That's the name of the game. And we exchange the information and we can agree to disagree in some areas. Am I going to be 100% perfect all the time? No, because I got a million different things going on in this rattled, addled brain of mine.
I mean, now we got Facebook chat, emails.
Yeah.
Now you have control of the phones, which is God save us all.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have our little chat window.
We have everything going here. We've got more ways for you to communicate with this show than we have ever had before. So shame on you if you have a disagreement with me, or you have a point, or if you want to correct me over some faux pas that I've, you know, let slip out of my, you know, mouth here. Fine. Shame on you if you swallow it. You've got to come on and call me out on it. It's that simple. I'm not perfect. Neither are you. Neither is anybody with PFW. The only perfect person here is Kevin.
Don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
God love Ryan Leaf.
I love Ryan Leaf. What would we do if we didn't have characters like that, you know? So, anywho. All right, here we go. Webradio at patriots.com, the email. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook, John Rook, friend me on Facebook, and we can chat. You can post your questions on my Facebook page. You can also follow me on Twitter, at jrook0722. Follow me there, and we can get some things done. Let me update the stuff here. All right, here we go. This one comes from Gene in Daytona Beach. John, happy to hear you again. Love the show. Thank you, Gene. Do you think once Bill saw what he wanted in Yateman early in camp, he would not have displayed him so much in the preseason games as to draw the attention of other teams, thus losing him to Miami? I'm glad for Yateman. He'll be on the 53-man roster somewhere instead of on the practice squad. Well, yeah. You know, you have to play the guy to see what he can do. Okay? You gotta play him to see what he can do. At first, you recall, very early in camp, Gene and anybody else, they really loved Lee Smith, and Smith looked like he was a great blocker, still a pretty good blocker, but it looked like he could fill the role that Algie Crumpler largely filled last year, which is one of the things that made Crumpler expendable. And then, I believe it was preseason game number two, I think it was the second game, it may have been the week leading up to the game against Tampa, but that's when Yateman came out and had a couple of outstanding practices and had a solid game, and he sort of overtook Smith, and Smith was almost an afterthought from thereafter. And so Yateman, because, you know, and he had to make a splash. He's an undrafted rookie free agent. Nobody thought enough of the guy to draft him, to waste a draft pick on him. But here's a guy again with a great pedigree. Played at Maryland last year. He's a transfer from Notre Dame. He played under who at Notre Dame? Charlie Weiss. Bingo. Hello. Light goes off, right? So here's a guy that, you know, the Patriots thought that they'd have some interest in.
Get the f***
off the field! Thank you, Charlie. So, I don't know how you can hide the guy. You have to play him to see what he can do. Kudos to Will Yeatman for performing on the field enough to where especially a divisional rival wants him. Gene also says, I think picking up the Gronk's brother is a good move and a way of salvaging the situation. Probably Butler will have to go to make room for him. Butler looked really bad in the fourth quarter of the Giants game. Well, time will tell as to who is actually, it could be anybody. I really don't know that they're going to take away from the defensive backfield depth at this stage of the game. Maybe the Patriots are waiting on making the announcement on a guy like Dan Gronkowski because they're still trying to decide what or who they're going to get rid of and what kind of move they're going to make. I personally believe that a guy like Tarpinian might be the guy to go, but I think they think he can help them this year. Otherwise, I think we would have already seen him put on IR, thus already creating a roster spot. But Tarpinian could still be the one to go because, I mean, how soon is he going to produce? I agree with you about Butler, though, Gene. In all honesty, and those that have followed the show over the last couple of years, I have really banged on Darius Butler. Less so last year, but as a rookie, I really banged on the kid. It had nothing to do with the fact that, he's a UConn guy. I just didn't think he had what the Patriots needed.
I would have rather seen Merriweather stayed in Butler because.
Yes, yes. Now, I realize they play two different positions, but Kevin, I agree with you 110%. I think I would have rather them had Merriweather than Butler. But I realize two different positions, two different hats, and perhaps Butler's willing to do some of the things, or at least try to do some of the things the Patriots want him to do, as opposed to Merriweather, who did sometimes seem to play out there with his own agenda. I think we've seen that with, fines he had for leaving his feet on hits last year and some things like that.
In the Big Bang Clock.
Yeah, so could Butler be the guy? Well, he could be, but considering their need right now in the secondary for a little depth, I would almost be surprised at that if that is the move that they make to bring in a third tight end. Be interesting to see. Not entirely certain that that's going to happen. All right. Let me get a couple more emails in here, and then we're going to get to Brian Waters. This one comes from, here we go, Joshua, who says, tell Big Al, we had Big Al from Valdosta, Georgia earlier, he says, I don't think Spock played in the 08 Super Bowl. He was injured in the playoffs that year. It was a big blow to the Cards' chances. I thought he was picked up by Arizona right after he left New England and stayed. Well, somebody will look up a roster and figure it out otherwise, but thanks for bringing that up, Joshua. John in South Carolina, as a member of the human race, I would like to apologize for the moron that wrote the show. I believe I speak for all mankind when I say he or she is an embarrassment and one of the leading reasons some people need to use birth control. Is he talking about?
Is that me?
No.
Oh.
Says, I'd like to apologize for the moron that wrote the show. I'm guessing he's talking about Bill, who said, put the PFW, I hate you. Podcast up. That's the only thing I can guess.
I got you.
Yeah.
I thought he was taking a shot at me for a minute when I saw that in the web radio inbox.
No. John is a loyal Patriots fan.
My poor mom. She's not going to like this.
No, John is a – no, no. John in South Carolina is a loyal Patriots fan, one that's been a part of, our situation here for several years. And so, John, I appreciate that. I don't take it personally. I stopped taking it personally years ago. Years ago. Knuckleheads like Bill don't bother me. I just want to engage him. I want to see what they know. Sure enough, he knows nothing because he hasn't emailed me back. So that's okay. It is what it is. Sam from Cali checks in again. John, I feel like.
It is what it is.
Yes. Thank you, Bill. He says, I feel like I need to clarify my point. I have nothing against Chad at all. He emailed us earlier about, changing his name. I love the guy. I was coming from a point of view that his gimmicks, we all know that style doesn't exist with the Patriots. I mean, Moss didn't do that great during his first offseason. He was a beast in the 07 regular season. As a Patriots fan, I want him to do well. Nay, I want him to do great. I have faith in him. Okay, I get you. Already, Sam, when he came into New England and many of us in the media were anticipating, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to get tweets out the wazoo. We're going to get colorful quotes in the locker room. Can't wait. Yeah, we got a reason to get up and go to the locker room every day, which is usually a very mundane thing to do because the guys say the same old tired stuff over and over and over again, you know? I'm just here to help the ball club. I want to help the team any way I can. You'll have to ask Coach Belichick that. I mean, you know, these are all the standard questions and answers that you get. Well, Chad Ochocinco, it's kind of like, woo, yes. There's some red walking through the room, baby. There's some bright orange, some yellow, something, right? Well, you know, he's talking about how he's, you know, arrived in heaven and, you know, I'm going to go the Patriot way and, you know, I'm paraphrasing here and, you know, okay. That's what players do. They come here knowing this. They come here knowing this. This is why teams, this is why players want to come to New England. They want to be in a professional, winning, no BS locker room. So Chad's dialed it down a notch, just like Randy Moss dialed it down a notch. And then Randy, as we all know, went on that diatribe last year. And what happened? Randy's gone. Do I think Randy would have stayed had he not had that impromptu little press conference about midway through the year last year? Maybe. Maybe. But you could kind of sense things were building up when the ball wasn't really coming his way. Now, a lot of that may have to do with Randy himself. He kind of lost a half a step. Do I still think he could help somebody? Yes, I do. But Randy only wants to come back to situations that suit Randy. I can't say that I blame him on that. This is a situation that suits him. Right now, the Patriots don't have a need. But they might in a week or two or six. They might. If he's in shape, it could happen. We'll be talking about this again at some point in time this year. I totally understand what you're talking about, Sam. No worries. Blake here from Southern Cal. John, welcome back. It's been too far along. Very excited to have you on the air again. Thank you, Blake. I'm glad to be back on the air again. It's football time, baby. Here's my two cents on the team this year. Offense, no questions for me at all. We will be good to go with Gronk and Hernandez at tight end, possibly with another Gronk as well. I love Ocho. He will be fine. Just give it some more time. Defensively, my only question is safety. Chung is great. I like Sergio Brown, but not sure he can be an every down free safety out there. I would agree with you, Blake, on that one. Again, why I was a little bit bothered by Merriweather's departure. Somebody said, well, it's because he freelances too much. Well, isn't that what a free safety is supposed to do? Isn't he supposed to freelance? I mean, I know that the Patriots, and here's a point that I originally saw written by Mike Reese on ESPN Boston, and I think it's a good point, and I've heard a few football guys that I respect talk about this. The Patriots, in going to a 4-3, more of a 4-3 look defensively this year, have more man principles. When you're in a 3-4, there's a little bit more zoning. There's a little bit more territory that a down lineman, a linebacker, and even a defender in the secondary has to cover. But when you're 4-3, you're more man-on-man. You're more about beating the guy in front of you. You're more about putting immediate pressure on people. It's just, by nature, more of an attack defense to me, and I think to most, than a 3-4 is. So that leads to what you're doing in the secondary. Now, the Patriots don't do the Tampa 2 thing a lot. They don't play a lot of zone, cover in the middle, yada, yada. There's going to be more man principle defensively. And my guess is here, and again, this is just a semi-educated guess. The guess is here is that Brandon Merriweather, they just weren't confident in his ability to attack more in a man sense as opposed to a zone sense. Now, again, a free safety is supposed to cover a territory by nature. He doesn't lock up with anybody. But when he does have to come over and help, he is going to have to lock up. And I guess they just feel like he wasn't the fit that they thought they might have elsewhere, especially from a guy like Sergio Brown.
I had a funny theory on the 3-4-4-3.
Okay.
It's been a very popular topic for journalists such as yourself to write about in the preseason.
Yep.
And you see guys out there in the media tent during camp, John, this summer.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden when they switched to a 3-4 for the first time, to practice it, to give it a look, everyone was like, oh no, like what is all this writing I've done the past 2 weeks, what's happening? And specifically I saw Mike Reese himself cringe when they switched to a 3-4
because everybody's written about how this team is.
So here was my thing. They go most of the preseason in a 4-3 look, most of the practices in a 4-3 look. Wouldn't it be funny if on opening day against Miami this Monday night,
open up in a 3-4,
the first defense you see is something along the lines of Albert as the nose tackle, Vince on one side, and Ellis on the other. Wouldn't that be hilarious if they came out and did that?
Don't be surprised.
I wouldn't, and that's what I said to Adam Jones during one of our post-game shows here, John, is that, hey, wouldn't that be funny, and wouldn't that be fitting of Bill sticking it to the media to do that?
Don't be surprised. I mean, we've seen two men down linemen. We've seen, you know, a 2-5 look.
We've seen no down linemen.
We've seen all linebackers.
Exactly.
Standing guy. Yeah, exactly. We've seen a lot of different looks from this team over the last few years. So
that no down lineman look, I mean, I forget the year, but I remember seeing, like, how in the world do you know where they're coming from? All of a sudden they walk up and they're switching positions, and all of a sudden the ball snapped and three or four of them take off and you have no idea where they're coming from.
That's right. And some of them are dropping back into coverage, not necessarily attacking. So I'm just saying, don't be surprised. You know, last year this team was primarily a 3-4 defense, primarily, and yet they only played the 3-4 about what? I think I read it somewhere, 37% of the time. So that means 63% of the time in a team that is primarily a 3-4, 63% of the time they were in something other than a 3-4. Now, could have been a 4-3. It could have been, you know, a dime defense. It could have been any. It could have been one of those 2-5s or no down line. But that's 63%. That's a lot of time, man. If your majority defense, you're only in a little over a third of the time, that tells me you don't really have a majority defense. Kind of like majority rules, right? You got to, for you to be considered a 3-4 or 4-3, don't you really have to be playing that defense of 50% of the time generally? I kind of think so. So we think this team is going to be more of a 4-3. The roster is built now to be, you know, more convenient to a 4-3 because you've got 10 down defensive linemen between your tackles and your defensive ends. 10 guys. You wouldn't have kept that many linemen if you were going to be a 3-4. You'd have had more backers. But the thing about it is that a couple of those guys who are defensive ends could also drop back into coverage as an outside linebacker. A guy like Jermaine Cunningham, for instance. So, okay, let's just kind of see how this thing unfolds. Blake also says, very unsure about Josh Barrett. Would like to pick up Darren Sharper. I think he's still got a good year left for a run at a Super Bowl. And being the defensive general ball hawk he is, Bill would love him on this defense. He says, thanks for the memories, Randy, but I'll stick with Wes, Ocho, and Branch. All right, so no Randy Moss for Blake. You know, I've heard Darren Sharper's name mentioned a bunch of times.
We had a lot of chatter about that today on PFW. And the Patriots had him in for a workout. They had him in for
About midway through camp, right?
And a lot of people are thinking that maybe they'll wait till after the season starts so they don't have to guarantee his money.
You just hit on one of the notes that I had here, one of the things I wanted to bring up today.
So you go for
You're not going to see anything happen until you get by the first week of the season. Why is that? Because if a vested veteran is on the roster before week one, you got to pay him the whole nut, what he's due. But you can bring in somebody afterward, and you only have to pay him, what is it, a prorated thing? Or you can pay him the veteran's minimum, I think?
Yeah, you can get away, and you can cut your losses pretty much at any time.
Right.
With a very minimal loss.
Well, just a minimal loss. So I think you'll see a guy like Sharper or Moss or some of the others that have been talked about. It's going to happen after week one, kids.
I'm not trying to sound pessimistic about the team because I'm very excited, but I hope that you got to hope that if they're going to add a piece, a veteran piece to the puzzle, I really hope it's at safety.
I do too. I
don't have my wagon hitched or anything.
No.
I think it would be a cool story, and I wouldn't be opposed to seeing him back. And after we heard Brady speak this morning on
about
EDI,
Moss, right,
about opening with welcome, with open arms and all that stuff, that'd be great. But I'd really love a proven safety.
Well, I think that would be one area of need. I'd like to see him. I mean, I know they brought in a couple of guys on the practice squad as well. They signed yesterday offensive linemen to back up in the offensive line. So I guess that probably, or at least now, takes care of that need. If indeed the Dan Gronkowski thing is made official today, then that would take care of the third tight end that you might need. That would really leave the defensive backfield as an area of concern, as I talked about off the top of the program today. Three areas that you as fans need to be looking at where there is some concern: offensive line, defensive backfield, and tight end. We'll see if they have taken steps to correct, you know, a couple of them. Well, you still have some need in the backfield. All right, before we continue on with emails, and again, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. By phone, that's how you reach the show. You can also bring us up on Facebook. John Rook,
here's the problem.
Friend me there, and then we'll accept the friend, and you can post your questions. You can also do some Facebook chatting during the program here. Let's take some time out to listen in on the locker room conversation with the media that one of the newest members of the team and brought in to add to the depth situation on the offensive line, former Pro Bowl guard Brian Waters, who comes by way of Kansas City.
Right now, I've been with one team for so long. To jump in, and I mean, jumping in at a time where, you know, you got to get going right away, game coming up in a few days.
You know, I think the time is probably a little bit more different than being with a new team. I think, you know, this is part of the league, is being able to adjust. And, you know, the ideal is you can stay with one team your whole career. It's not really realistic if you play for a long period of time. So I'm just trying to get accolated to all the things that are going on right now.
Bill said there might be some familiarity between the system that you were in Kansas City and the system here. Do you anticipate being able to pick up on a few things here and there?
You know, that's my job, you know, so that's where all my concentration will be on, is making sure to get down to the details so that I can try to be the best I can be, you know, as fast as possible.
Brian, were you surprised that you were sitting around all summer long and you hadn't got that phone call?
Oh, no. I had numerous phone calls. It was just about finding a situation that was best for me.
Why here, then?
It's a great organization. Why not? You know, the record speaks for itself. So, you know, this is a football team that's a contender year in and year out. And like I said, I've had the opportunity to be around the staff and a number of the players. I got an opportunity to spend some time with Mr. Kraft during the offseason. So, it seemed like the perfect fit for me.
Were you willing to sit the year out? Were you willing to say if the situation wasn't the right one, I'm just going to sit it out?
Oh, well, you know, being a homeborn family, there's nothing wrong with that. So that's not a bad thing at all. So I was enjoying that time, spending time with my wife and kids. And but, you know, this is what I do, and I wanted to play this year, and it just so happened that a great opportunity presented itself to me.
Brian, how have you lasted this long in this league?
You know what? More than anything, it's just being flexible, you know, being able to deal with people, knowing that, you know, that things are going to change, and you just want to make sure that you can, you know, be flexible enough to change with them. But outside of that, it's just trying to work hard, doing the best I can, always knowing that I can always get better, and never really settling for, you know, one good performance or one good season, knowing there's always things to get fixed and stuff.
Is there also a level of excitement protecting Brady?
It kind of goes both ways. you know, you want to make sure that you do the best job no matter who's back there. And you know that they've got a family to feed, and you want to protect them as best as possible. It just so happened that this team has a great one back there.
Brian, can you talk about your experience on the negotiating committee, specifically with Mr. Kraft's role, too?
Well, I mean, I got an opportunity to spend some time with him during that process. You know, that's it's kind of old news now, and to be honest with you, you know, right now, I just saw Mr. Kraft coming in, so it was good to see him again. But honestly, I'm just focused on Miami. I'm trying to, you know, get past that. That was a great experience when it was going on, but right now, this is really where all my focus is.
Do you know the history of number 54?
I do. I had the opportunity to meet the guy a few times, and I played with him at the Pro Bowl, so I have a great appreciation for the number.
Right. Ochocinco calls this place heaven. I don't know if it's heaven, but for other players with a chance, is this the promised land, one last shot?
I think this is as good as it gets. You know, I think that the way the organization handles itself, and again, history speaks for itself, so I think this is as good as it gets.
How would you explain what happened in Kansas City?
It's a mutual parting. Two people decided that it was, you know, best to go to separate ways with no ill intentions or nothing negative to say or anything like that. It was just a mutual decision.
How disappointing was that for you?
I'm not really disappointed. Honestly, I look at this as a great opportunity for me. Like I said, I mean, the ideal of playing with someone your whole career, the same team, is just unrealistic if you play for a long period of time. And I've had the blessing to be in Kansas City for 11 years, and I'm having another great opportunity here.
Have you been able to survive so long, so to speak? Because obviously you've lasted about three times the average length of your career.
Just trying to work hard, to be honest with you. I've been blessed to not have any major injuries, and And, again, just trying to be flexible with all the different – I've had a number of different head coaches, different coordinators and offensive line coaches. So just being flexible and being able to deal with the different personalities and being accommodating as best I can.
People come across work ethic in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
How did you acquire yours?
My grandmother worked the same job for 48 years, so I had a great role model.
What was the job?
She was serving in a hospital. She was a cafeteria servant.
Mm-hmm. You played with Matt Cassel for a couple of years.
Yes.
Probably knocked heads with Mike Vrabel for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Did they have anything to say about, you know, what it's like in New England? Well, before you actually came here, but did they have any? You know?
They had nothing but great things to say. I think both of those guys really enjoyed their time here. I think, even speaking from Matt, I think it was a great opportunity for him to showcase his skill when he got the opportunity. So it's worked out that he's been able to now go somewhere else. But I think Mike had nothing but great things to say, you know, because he had a long period of time here. But really, just the environment is one of the things he always talked about and was always, you know, talk highly of.
What kind of shape are you in, having obviously not had any camps and kind of, you know, not being in – doing anything football-wise?
You probably ask him that question tomorrow. We'll find out.
Are you ready for Dante?
Right.
Next question.
Well, again, you probably need to ask me that tomorrow.
Yeah. When you came in on Saturday, was it the type of thing where you knew you didn't want to leave?
Like I said, when I got the call, it was, you know, the first thing that came to mind was, what a great opportunity, what a great place to be in if it works out.
All right, so there you go. There's Brian Waters. In the locker room yesterday, and you know, he sounds like a pro, doesn't he? I mean, he just sounds like he's business.
And he's a guy that could possibly end up starting on.
I mentioned that a little while ago. Don't be surprised if he doesn't start a guard. I mean, don't be surprised if he does start a guard next Monday. It could easily happen depending on the injury situation.
By the way, I just can't wait for Monday.
I know, it's going to be tough to get through Sunday, isn't it?
Been through
we have to be the
grind.
First Monday night game, and we've gone through this grind, and we've had two stinker preseason games to wrap up the exhibition with.
It always feels like this between camp and the preseason games. When it comes to this time, it's just, God, when is it going to get here? Like, when can we have something to look forward to? When's the light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, we've got something to look forward to. Sunday's going to be tough to get through just because we want the Patriots to play.
Yeah,
you know?
I have to get my rest on Sunday.
I know.
Monday's going to be
Monday will be a tough day
Monday's
because it'll
be a
long
day
night
for me
because
it's
right.
it's a work day.
Right.
And then we have the pregame and postgame. And I'm sure
Now, who does the pregame here on Patriots.com with you?
It is Paul Perillo and Andy Hart.
Right.
So they no longer travel anymore. They stay back in studio. It's just Fred Kirsch and just Eric Scalvino who travel with the team.
Really?
Yeah, they switched it up.
Wow.
So after many years of traveling for Paul especially, I mean, he couldn't recall the last time he didn't make a road
trip. So is he okay with that?
I think they are. I mean, as you know, having a family, both those guys have relatively young families, so it just makes sense for them to be at home. But I tell you what, it makes for a long game day, whether they're on the road or whether they're at here,
mm-hmm.
especially for a night game.
Mm-hmm.
Because those guys then, if we'll say they're on the road on Monday, they have to stay here, catch up on the game so they can write their stories and whatnot.
Right.
And then probably wait for Eric or Fred to maybe feed them some locker room sound or transcribe some quotes from the locker room to get them back to them. And basically it's an all-nighter to write the paper and whatnot.
Well, that part I knew.
Because
I'm
now up here, John. So say on Monday night, the game will end around 10, hopefully, if it starts at 7.
Right.
Adam and I will be on the air past midnight, and I'll – you know, during the preseason.
So you and Adam do the post game, but you and Andy and Paul do the pregame.
But we've had situations where, you know, Adam and I are on the air if it's an 8:30 preseason game, like it was one of these games where we're on the air past 1 a.m. and I go upstairs at, you know, almost 2 after I've cleaned everything up and, you know, dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's, and there are Andy and Paul still working away up there. So
right. Interesting.
So we're working hard for you guys.
Obviously. You guys are doing the job. Well, that's good. I mean, I think it's great that you're doing
a
pre and a post game thing,
coverage.
Too, because, frankly, you can't get a lot of just the football stuff if you're listening to the Patriots Radio Network.
And we find, like you said, John, people want to vent. People want to either celebrate a win right after the game, or they want to vent a loss and how much they hate so-and-so or who screwed up. They want to get it out right away. They can't wait till Monday, never mind Tuesday.
Tuesday, right.
So it's really tough for them to have, you know, no format to let it out. So now I think we've given them that format, that kind of open forum to stand on their soapbox and tell us what they think.
Well, that's all right. So there you go. Step in towards some improvements, some additions here on Patriots.com radio on game days. Pretty cool. I think we offer just about anything and everything that a fan would want. And like I said, we have the most extensive radio programming of any team in the National Football League. And we've had that now for, this is 12 years for Patriots.com radio and 11 for the playbook. So, you know, everybody else comes after us as far as we're concerned. We are the trendsetter.
On game day, it's great because you get the pregame show to get you ready. Then if you're coming to the game, they get you
right
during the game.
That's right. They got me during the game.
And
right?
Adam after. So.
Pretty good combo. Pretty good combo. I like it. Works for me. Gustavo, our friend from Brazil here. Hi, John. Welcome back, buddy. As you said, I have the feeling that all these critical changes in the locker room or in the roster seems to be an attempt to take advantage of the Brady window. But how much of this hurry is also because of the lockout? I think there's some to do with that, Gustavo. But I think the two kind of go hand in hand. I kind of believe that, you know, they haven't been playing football and they realize that, you know, I think they feel like they're as smart, if not smarter, than most in the NFL. And so while some teams have certainly taken a while to kind of get up and going after being inactive for a long time before the CBA was done, that the Patriots wanted to get the jump on people. It was that simple. But I also believe it's because of the makeup of the roster more than anything. I think they feel like, you know, this is a window of opportunity. We need to act now. Let's put the best team out there we possibly can with an eye toward the future. You can see it in certain areas, you know, where they have gotten a little bit younger, but we're winning now. We're going to try to win right now. Gustavo says, even more, how many problems will we have during the season because of the lockout? I believe that we already have one in Ocho Cinco. Not enough time for him to know the playbook or really bond with Brady. Well, the bonding thing, okay, I can buy to an extent. Because if he's, you know, signing the off year or they do a trade or whatever, then quite frankly, if they have a chance, you kind of look at this two ways. If they have a chance to bond or whatever, then we don't have that problem as much. But then again, is the trade even made if you have a regular offseason? See, I don't know that. Maybe it is. Maybe it was. I'm not buying the part about, you know, there's not enough time to learn the playbook. Guy's an 11-year vet. Come on. How hard is it really to pick that stuff up? He's got to know terminology. He certainly knows how to run a route. There are nuances, yes, that you have to learn from the quarterback who's pitching you the ball. There's no question about that. There are certain things that you go through that honestly, you know, it's timing. It's, you know, just a knack of knowing where you need to be because Tom's going to put the ball there. That, I think, more so than the playbook, could be an issue and might have been improved had they had offseason time. But I also think a lot of that's overrated. I have faith in Ocho Cinco's ability to be able to get to where we think he can be. Now, all right, keep in mind last year he was not the receiver that he had been previously in Cincinnati, okay? So let's not jump off and think he's going to be a 1,000-yard guy here. I think if Ocho Cinco comes through with 50-plus catches and 800-plus yards, I think that's pretty good because, you know, you got to get the ball in Deion Branch's hands. You got to get the ball in Wes Welker's hands. You know, so does he need to be a 1,000-yard receiver? No, I don't think so. What we want, though, for Ocho Cinco to get in single coverage, we want him to make the grab that he's supposed to make and then turn a simple play into a spectacular play. That is what has made him an elite receiver during his time in the NFL. If we can see a few of those instances, then the pickup is worth it. Daniel, guys, I know BB knows what's going on with his team. Merriweather never was good to begin with. Chung is a lot better in all aspects of the position. All right, well, Dan, I got to disagree with that because Merriweather was a Pro Bowl player. I realize one of the Pro Bowl slots he had was probably a de facto thing because of injuries, but it doesn't matter. He still made the Pro Bowl. Never good to begin with? Nah, see, now you're kind of going off the other end here. Good player. But maybe the way the Patriots want to play this year was not a fit for what Brandon Merriweather's talents really are. Dan says, I've been surprised that all the people we release are picked up like they are. The best, because we had them. Waters is on the right guard spot. He's a left guard pro bowler. Yeah. You play one guard, you usually play the other. I mean, heck, they're moving Nate Solder, you know, our first-round draft pick out of Colorado. They're moving him to play some guard as well. Because, as you know, over the years, one of the strong suits of the Patriots' offensive line has been their versatility, which means every guy on that line can play somewhere else, can play another position. That's a strong suit. That's what the Patriots need. That's why a guy like Solder's playing guard. Right guard, left guard, whichever it is, for a guy like Waters, he's going to be in there where they need him the most. All right. Jenny says she has a nick pick, but it's actually a nit pick with a T. But that's okay, Jenny. I understand what you're saying here. Nitpick. Let's nitpick these fans that do not know what they're talking about. It's the first show. A game has not been played yet. That is why they play the game. Go Pats, Jets suck. Atta girl, Jenny. I like it. Yeah, well, if you're just tuning in, yeah, we had a knucklehead fan barrage me with 5 emails off the top of the show. Bill, I think his name was. Said, I am so bored. Please put up the PFW, you know, podcast or whatever. I'm like, come on, dude. Give me a break. Stop spamming me with your email. You know, bring something constructive to the table here. You might find you actually like it, because guess what? We actually talk football here. I'm not taking anything away from the guys. Okay. They all do their own thing very well, but we just kind of, we take a little different approach. We're X and O first, and schematics and schemes and nitpicking and second guessing and all that. But, you know, we try to mix in a little fun along the way. Definitely. Got to have some fun. And we'll also talk about other teams around the NFL when the situation arises. We'll have guests from around the NFL. We'll have national guests as well as guests who cover the teams and the opponents that the Patriots will be playing. Lyndon in Colton, California. John, good to have you back. Thank you, Lyndon. I missed the first 80 minutes of the show, so you may have already talked about this. With the slow progress of Ochocinco, do you think the Pats would have been better off going after Jabbar Gaffney or Dante Stallworth? Has the offense evolved to a point where prior experience wouldn't help? I think it all has to do, Lyndon, with availability, A, comfortability with the personality involved. And again, it just comes down to simple player evaluation. I mean, they've had Jabbar Gaffney here. They've had Stallworth. So do you really want to go there again? As opposed to, you know, Ochocinco, who, you know, you got to give the guy a little bit of slack so he can get up to speed with not only getting comfortable with Brady and Brady with he, but also with the playbook. And again, I think a lot of that, again, is overrated. I said off the top of the show, and I'll mention again here, Lyndon, let's not really sink our teeth into, oh, my goodness, what's wrong with Ochocinco, until we at least get, say, minimum 3 weeks into the season. And then even so, even if we get that far into the season, and he's only got, you know, 2, 3, 4 catches, how many times has he been targeted? In other words, how involved has he been in the game plan? We need to see that first. It may very well be the Patriots' game plan doesn't call for them to target him. And he's out there to decoy. The Boston Globe is confirming now the signing of Dan Gronkowski at tight end for the Patriots. Again, we have no official confirmation from the team, but the Boston Globe says it's going to happen.
It's Shalice Manzi-Young, who's pretty reliable.
Shalice is good. She's a good beat reporter.
So, and a bunch of their writers are tweeting it.
Okay. All right. So the Globe then is tweeting that Dan Gronkowski, Rob's brother, who was cut from Denver, is now coming in as a third tight end for the Patriots. All right, so there you go. You got the latest. That would apparently at least take care of that particular element. Todd sends this one. He says, come on, John. I completely disagree that Merriweather was ever a good player. He couldn't catch, tackle, had poor instincts. He made the Pro Bowl because his big knuckleheaded hits were on SportsCenter. By the way, welcome back, John. Well, Todd, we'll have to agree to disagree. I think ultimately what happened was that they probably did feel like he was a bit more of a loose cannon than they really wanted to have out there. That I will give you. Guy has athletic instincts, though, all right? He's got athletic instincts. He has the ability to play. Why would Chicago have picked him up as quickly as they did? I just don't think the Patriots really wanted to put the due diligence in, or I don't think they could get a trade partner, but they probably tried to do that. Seeing that, you know, hey, there's going to be so much on the waiver wire, we'll just wait. Patriots decided, well, you know what, we're going to be proactive here. We're not going to wait. So what if we don't get a fifth or a sixth round pick from Merriweather? We're going to let him go. And ultimately, I think that's what they decided. But he was never a good player? Come on. Why did they take him with a first round pick in 07? I'm not buying that. All right. Next one. This is Lakshay. I don't even know if he's got a name here. Hey, guys, I think this is Darius Butler's last year, unless he has a breakthrough year, which I highly doubt it, but will not be shocked seeing that he's always there to make a play on the ball but can't come up with anything. I think he gets replaced through the draft next season. What's your take on him? As I mentioned earlier, I've kind of banged on him quite a bit over the last couple of years. I'm not a Darius Butler fan. I think he plays too loose. I don't think he's a good man defender. He's much more effective in zone situations, and with the team playing, we think, more man coverage this year and more man principle defensively, I don't think this is going to be a good year for Darius. I hope, as a Patriots fan, he proves me wrong. I don't see it right now. And yes, I also agree. Could be his last year. I also think this is the main reason, or one of the reasons, why they didn't give up early in a guy like Rashad Dowling. I think you'll see him get quite a bit of time. I think you're going to see quickly whether or not he can play, because I'm not sure that Darius Butler can. Just my opinion. Tim feeds this through Facebook. He says, is it completely unrealistic to think Gary Guyton can play some safety? He has the wheels to keep up with almost any tight end in the league, is the best coverage linebacker we have, and with something of a logjam at linebacker with spikes returning, he probably wouldn't see the field much otherwise. Don Davis got some time there years ago, so it's not unprecedented. Ah, there we go. Got the chat thing up and running. I'm usually hidden, so I hope you feel privileged. Yes, Tim. Thank you, by the way. Tim's a new friend on Facebook. Glad to have you aboard, Tim. I think that's a great point. Now, you know, I know Gary a little bit. He's a big dude. He's a little bigger than Don Davis was running around back there as a safety a few years ago, but that's a great analogy. It's an interesting point. I'm not sure that we'll see it. We might see it in some nickel-type stuff. You might. I think you'd be more likely to see a guy like Rob Ninkovich, you know, back there, because he's a little smaller, maybe even a little faster. But, okay, that's an interesting point. We know how this team loves to experiment. I also think that with the guys that they have on the practice squad, don't forget in the preseason we saw Buddy Farnham, who's primarily a wideout, also get some time in the defensive backfield. And I think a guy like Farnham could, I don't know that he's not a corner, but I think you can see Farnham come up if they need it, you know, in an injury situation to make plays probably from a safety spot as well. I think that's possible. Possible. Very interesting points. All right, let me bang out a couple here. Matt goes this route. Hey, guys, I was hoping to get Eric's words with friend's name. My wife's already kicking Andy's ass, so I want to see if we can make it a clean sweep. Okay. We'll leave that for him here. And then Gina Daytona writes back. He says, John and Kevin, this is a suggestion I made to Fred a while ago. I do not know if it is even possible. Patriots Nation fans are worldwide, and a lot of us cannot watch the games but only hear it through the Internet, but via a radio station with FCC regulations. Thank God for curse words and listening to you guys. That would be what we really would like. I have nothing against Gino and the other radio station, and there might be contractual problems involved between them and the Patriots, but what we'd love to hear is you, John, doing the play-by-play from Gillette as you do the game, and the PFW crew with their in-game comments, just like the draft coverage, including all the moans and the groans. I feel you guys could be missing an opportunity. The reason we want to hear you guys instead of the radio station's version of the game is on the Internet is because you can say what we're feeling. That's the whole nine yards here. This is why we have this programming. We can talk about this stuff. That's why when people say you're nothing but a Patriots rump swab, I'm like, what are you talking about? They give us complete and full license here, and that's why we're privileged to do this, because nobody checks over our shoulders and says, you can't say that here. Mule muffins, you can say that here. You can. You treat this like you would treat any other broadcast job. That's all you do. You're, you know, we're all pros here. allegedly. He says, Gene says, you're lucky enough to be in New England, but a lot of us are not that fortunate. I don't care. What do you think about that? I mean, I don't know if you wanted to work on a different kind of stream where you could pipe in like game day sound or something. I don't know if you'd want to. I don't know. That's what he's saying, I guess.
Interesting. It's an interesting thought. I mean, we have.
You get the sounds of the stadium. I mean, you're not. I mean, yeah, you can get the play by play, but I mean, it's not quite radio play by play what we do here.
No, it's definitely not.
I mean, we're just, you know, we you know, in game, in stadium announcing is to augment what the 68,000 plus in the stadium are looking at.
It doesn't really work if you're not seeing.
No. And then it's also to do the commercial stuff. I mean, because, you know, now everything's on computer, but before I used to have a script that was about a half an inch thick that I had to follow.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the ads and things because people do pay for the privilege to have their announcements and such, you know, with 68,000 plus captive audience members there listening to that.
It used to be a little old bee for a brief period of time telling you when to go.
Right.
It was my honor.
You have more fun down on the sideline.
Yeah, I get around.
Todd says, I'll give you that Brandon Merriweather was at least as talented as Lawrence Maroney. Addition by subtraction. Addition by subtraction. All right, touche there, Todd. We'll agree to disagree, but that's actually a pretty good analogy. Lawrence Maroney is a talented player. I just didn't think he was a... It just wasn't a fit here, and obviously he's not a fit anywhere else either. Because I don't know, did he stick with anybody? I don't think so. These 2 hours have absolutely flown by, and I'm sure that the first few shows this year are going to fly by. But one of the great things about Patriots.com radio this year is we continue to make steps to improve on our programming by lengthening our broadcast day, and of course adding the pre and the post on game day, is by bringing in Pete Shepard, who has been a friend for a long time in this business, worked at EEI for a long time as well.
Thank you.
Pete came in last year with a show on Tuesdays, and now we're going to bring Pete back on Wednesdays and Thursdays to follow me all 3 days.
It's going to be awesome. Two quick side points that have nothing to do with football, that have to do with you and my beloved. Just real quick, because there's so much football to talk about. But I saw your tweet today about the Friars having the third best ranking class in college basketball.
That's right.
And I went crazy. That's unbelievable. So hopefully that'll pan out. But the other thing is, I don't think people realize what a tough job you have. Not just here and dealing with Kevin, but for, you know.
Kevin makes it easy.
But, I mean, as a PA guy, and I can remember doing some high school games, and one of the funniest stories ever, and a good friend of mine in, that you know, John Parenti in West Park, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And he and I did games together for a long time, and also my buddy Mick Colaggio.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember doing a game, I won't say where, but the PA announcer, you know how some of the high school ones get a little carried away. And they think they're you at Gillette. Or they think whatever. They get a tad carried away. Instead of just announcing the number and the player carrying the ball or caught the ball, they have to do an entire play-by-play, which really starts to be an unfair advantage for the other team, particularly the defensive team, I think. If you say, because this guy was going, this so-and-so is wide open, but whatever. But anyway, happened to be a pretty bad call on the field. And whoever I was partnered doing the game with, John or Mick, whatever, and I said, wow, I said, boy, that's really a questionable call right there and this, that, and the other thing. The PA announcer gets on after he announces the play and says, well, he said, it's hard to believe they made that kind of a call anyway. So what happens? Immediately, the ref on the field, rightly so, throws the flag on the field for unsportsmanlike conduct, points to the
press box.
The PA guy starts yelling at me.
Well, now
I said, I'm on a radio broadcast. You're announcing to, you know, everybody can hear you.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. You ever watch the show Friday Night Lights when it was on?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, the PA announcer who calls the commentary as they're showing the game clips, that's how a lot of the Texas, I mean, because they're all homers there, you know, and so that's what they really do. Mm-hmm. They kind of get into it a little bit more, and you hear some things over the PA that you wouldn't normally hear.
No, it's crazy.
You really can't do that in the NFL.
It's crazy.
I have been warned by the NFL in the past for quote-unquote cheerleading.
What, by saying first down the way you say first down?
Well, you know, when we first started, you know, doing the whole first down chant here, the NFL called us and said you can't lead on, you know, to do the cheerleading. Of course, now everybody has a version.
Oh, it's
absurd. Because everybody's copied us, and that includes Denver, by the way. Everybody covered, you know, everybody's copied us when they do the whole incomplete thing after an incomplete pass. We started this like 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When we finally, it took us 2 or 3 years to get people to catch on to it. Of course, now it's like one of the things that a lot of fans look forward to most when they come to the stadium is to be able to chant first down, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, there you go. They were saying that I was leading cheers, and you can't do that. So
what
the point is,
what riffraff you are.
So that, yeah, exactly. So what we've done now to get away from that is, because now that we've got everybody quote unquote trained, Pavlov's monkey here, Pavlov's dog, whatever. What we've done is, I just say, you know, that play's good for another Patriots, and I shut up, and the fans say first down.
Oh, screw the NFL. But that's that they got other things to worry about besides that. For God's sake!
Well,
that's
listen.
Really?
No, we know the NFL stands for no fun.
Well, again, but how has you been told by
this? Is, it's been it's been about 4 or 5 years.
Like I can't see Robert coming down, Robert Kraft coming down, and say, you know what, John, you need to tone down your first down.
But I have been called by the press box, you know, and by the powers that be here, without naming names, and said, hey, you got to be careful.
Okay.
And I've had official observers.
Well, maybe they're out looking for your protection. Maybe they're out looking for. I'm sure that I know the people.
That's part of it.
I'm sure they're looking out for your best
interest. Well, they also don't want. They also don't want the team to get fined $50,000.
But I mean,
which is what those fines are.
You know, maybe we're so accustomed to all the crap that the NBA teams do now, and especially in Orlando, how pathetic it is, and how the game is almost secondary.
Right.
The NFL, thank goodness, I don't think is is there.
I don't think so yet.
I think the NBA is so far over the top. It's ridiculous.
They are, and a lot of college arenas are getting that way too. I think you have to have a certain amount of decorum.
You
have to have a certain amount of professionalism involved.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's why, you know, when you get non-broadcasters doing jobs like that, then that's when you have a tendency to kind of push the envelope and go over the line.
Yeah.
When you have somebody who has a broadcast background or a journalism background and, you know, and you basically try to go on fact-based, you know, information, then I think you're probably a little closer to being accurate. By the way, did you see David Guerrard got cut by Jacksonville?
I was just talking to some people about that. Going to save them $9 million.
Wow.
So Luke McGowan will be your starting quarterback for your Jaguar fans out
there. That's unbelievable.
Around the world. All I can say is...
That's a shock.
$9 million you're going to save him, but I mean, 4 days before this, I mean, you know.
But I mean, you know, if you like a quarterback enough, so what is $9 million?
That's exactly right. I guess they don't like him enough.
Jacksonville is going to Los Angeles. How's that? You like that one?
I think that's a definite possibility.
I think this is the start.
You know my horror stories from covering that Super Bowl down there, where we had to stay and that godforsaken city, and that and they were not prepared. Tagliabue. And that whole entire city was just not prepared for the Super Bowl. It was an embarrassment to everybody down there. Thank goodness the Patriots beat the Eagles. And you had to not only survive their puke-inducing female fans that threw up over everybody and everything, but you had to have no cabs. And there were hardly any cabs, and people ran out of food. It was embarrassing. So you know what? If I ever have to go to Jacksonville again, it won't be too soon. Won't be soon enough.
You may not have to.
But I'm so psyched for this year. I'm so psyched to be part of Patriots.com again, and it's gonna be great. And
what do you got coming up today?
We got coming up. We got me a lot of ranting and raving, that kind of stuff. I know coming up, Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel will join me in the 5 o'clock hour. Of course, going to take all of your. And the beautiful revamped studios.
Isn't this great?
All of you.
We were kind of embarrassed because of the new digs, you know, next door. So I think we had to kind of come up with
stuff. I had to clean it up a little bit.
Yeah. You did clean it up. You cleaned it up very well.
Our Subway Fresh broadcast studio
is
inside Gillette Stadium.
It's a quick study.
And of course, on the Ace Ticket Hotline, which is 508-298-0398. And now, of course, Facebook is up. I'll be reading all the Facebook messages and friending me. Whatever you guys want to do, I will read it. No holes barred here. Lots to talk about. I am so psyched the NFL. Thank goodness the lockout, all that crap is all over, and we are ready for some serious, serious football. It's going to be one hell of a season. I can't wait.
Rock and roll. All right. Pete Shepard Show is coming up next. Thanks to Kevin. Heard from Brian Waters today. We'll be back same Pat's time, same Pat's channel tomorrow, kids. 2 p.m. Eastern, Inside the Playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
Greg!
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.